got a bit of reading here, but the title of the talk is The Door. The Door. So John chapter 10 and verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
Excuse me.
And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So it's a wonderful passage there, where Jesus just explains so clearly what he is, what his role is, and what, in fact, the church, which is also ecclesia, the chosen people. So in a way, like we can read that, like the sheepfold, in a way, we as the people in the church are in the yards, you know, where they hold the sheep. And Jesus is the door, and it's through him that the true shepherd comes through to the sheep that are in the yards. Anybody else who jumps over the fence, you know, they're there to cause mischief and scatter the sheep. And it says to kill and destroy, you know, spiritually speaking, to kill and destroy spiritually. And it says there that he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. So, you know, obviously, someone holding the gate to the yards, and he recognizes who the true shepherd is. And it goes on that Jesus is also the good shepherd. So in a funny way, Jesus is the door, but he's also the shepherd, which often we glean from the scriptures, because this is spiritual stuff. And often to explain the one thing, God has to use a couple of explanations. And here's one of them. Jesus is the door, and he's also the good shepherd. And praise the Lord, when he comes into the fold, we hear his voice. And when we hear his voice, like a sheep that follows their true shepherd, we follow him. And it says there also that he leads us in and out, right? So Jesus calls his sheep, being us, and he leads us in and out of the yards and back into the yards. So in a way, I mean, I'll read some further scriptures that will glean this. Like, he leads us out to pasture. Like, you don't bring the sheep into the yards to pasture. You hold them in security, you know, overnight or whatever. But then the shepherd comes into the yards, takes them out to pasture, good water, and then leads them back in. It goes on that Jesus, toward the end, that he voluntarily died for us. It says that he has power to lay his life down. He has power to take it again. He had the power not to do it, but he voluntarily laid his life down for the sheep. And so these are aspects that are explained very well in this passage, you know, about the stranger coming to destroy and him being the door, the good shepherd leading us in and out to pasture, laying his life down. So that's introduction to the talk of those aspects. Just turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, i.e. the sheep, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Just down to verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, i.e. the goats, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So again, another farming analogy. Jesus is the shepherd. He's going taking his sheep in and out. And as he takes his sheep out to pasture, they're goats that might jump on board and follow him for a bit. And then they might go away a little while and then come back again. So there'll be goats. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, there'll be goats in amongst the sheep. And so as a farmer or a shepherd drafts a mob that's all boxed up, boxed together, he gets out there and he's drafting, putting the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. And it's the sheep that he's after that will be raised up to meet him in the air, not the goats. And goats do not have the same flocking mentality as what sheep do. Goats do not recognize a shepherd. They don't form a group together as sheep do. Sheep just stick together. Fair enough, goats do form a mob or a flock, you know, and when they're driven, but it's not the same inherent desire to be with their own kind, with the sheep, as the sheep do. And so that's the point I'm making. So, yep, we've got our assembly of sheep following Jesus, and then a goat might come in for a bit, and then they might leave again, might come back in again. They don't really get the whole following Jesus thing, and but they'll be part of it. And then at the end, though, God knows the heart, and the God can draft accordingly what's the goat and what's the sheep. So Acts chapter 7, and these are great examples that the Lord has put in the scriptures. But also, I mean, I've said it before, when we head out and look at nature, you know, it's good to read nature like you're reading the Old Testament. It's a shadow of things to come. And this aspect of the shepherd, the sheep and goats and so forth is a shadow of the spiritual things. So Acts chapter 7 and verse 37. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear, which was Jesus. Verse 38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai. And with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. So I just wanted to read that as we go into the Old Testament, that the prophet that came after Moses that was like unto him was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, it says there, was in the church. So the church, we call our the Spirit-filled church, the ecclesia, but it's also the analogy is that the nation of Israel in the Old Testament was like a church. And in that church, as it was going through the wilderness, Jesus was there also. He was guiding them through the wilderness. So we'll turn to Exodus chapter 12. And it says there also, like unto me, him shall you hear. You know, those that he's called, him shall you hear. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. This is while they're still in Egypt just before they're leaving. So a bit of the story of the Passover, but I'll pick out some verses. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. In verse 12, For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. So I read before that Jesus is the door. We know that he is the lamb. He was the sacrificial lamb, the perfect Passover, and through his blood, you know, we are saved through his blood. And in a way, his blood was coated the door so that this plague would pass over us. As read before, that anybody who doesn't go through the door is a thief and a robber and has come to destroy. And so this destroyer passes over because of the blood of the lamb, and because Jesus is the true shepherd and he is the door, and he goes through the door, which is where we can come in and out. Down in verse 37, And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. So I read that. It's only a small verse there, but where it says, and a mixed multitude went up also with them. Right? So before this, there were amazing signs and wonders that happened in Egypt. And it must have been obvious to other Egyptians that these people called Israel, that were chosen by God and were blessed by God, they were thrust out miraculously out of Egypt, and there were a mixed multitude that jumped on board. There were people that weren't of God's kingdom that jumped on board and decided to follow Israel. And so that happens, you know, it's like the goats. You know, that they jump on board, a mixed multitude that aren't part of it. So there's a slight, only one small verse here that indicates that even back then, this church in the wilderness that were the sheep that were following Jesus, there were goats that decided to go along with them. Now, of course, if they carried on and repented and did the things of the Lord, they'll be part of this church. But it says they're a mixed multitude. chapter 13 and verse 20. And they, being the nation of Israel, they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So this is Jesus that's there as the angel guiding the people of Israel through the wilderness, and we also are wandering through the wilderness. And you can read the stories of where the Lord just led them to where the food was, you know, led them to where the water was. If only they trusted him. They rebelled many times, but he was always there for them to follow. So they, in a way, they're outside the sheepfold in this instance because they're wandering through the wilderness. And so wandering around, Jesus is leading them. Chapter 14 and verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So a wonderful deliverance here, as Moses said to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But in a way, Moses parted, well, the Lord parted the waters. It's like opening the door. Like the nation of Israel were there in a way before a closed door, but he opened the door and went through the sea, which is also like a baptism, as it says in the New Testament. It's also like a baptism because the Egyptians, they came to kill and destroy. They were there to kill and destroy Israel. But Jesus, being the door, opened the door that they went through and that they passed through the sea, and then those that came to destroy them were destroyed themselves, as we read before, everlasting punishment. And so there is that type, that definite type in the Old Testament of what it's like now as we walk in the things of the Lord. And so it's important that we stay together, that we are the sheep, We continue to follow Jesus because he is there to protect us. He is there to help us out, you know, as we walk through the wilderness. And we can have that fear, you know, like we are natural people and we fear for our salvation. It's a good thing. Fear is a good thing. Panic is not. So fear helps us to with our senses to stay locked on what's right. But when we panic, that's kind of irrational. But we have this calm fear of the Lord. And so when those things like really start worrying us, the Lord is there. He can close the waters back behind us to take away those things that wish to destroy our salvation. So we just trust in the Lord. And it's like Nina said in her testimony, like we just pray to the Lord and he gives us a calm assurance. You know, he rests our mind that he is going to cover up those things that come to destroy us, to take our salvation away. Because our salvation is so important. We lock it away. We lock it away in the top shelf in a little box so that nobody takes it away from us. And if we continue to follow Jesus, he will help us. He will guide us to pastures. He is the good shepherd. He wants good things for us. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26. Of course, those that follow God to the promised land, they were granted their promised land that flowed with milk and honey. There were already cattle there. And there was already bees working away. They just had to pick the food up, didn't have to toil for it. And so that's our salvation, of course. Isaiah chapter 26, in verse 1. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation with God. Sorry, I'll read that again. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So there you go. Open the gates, this strong city. Open the gates, that the righteous nation, the righteous people, the spirit-filled people may enter in. And it says here, those that keep the truth may enter in. And he will grant them perfect peace to those whose mind is stayed on thee, who's focused on following Jesus, just stayed on there without wavering. He will grant that peace that passes all understanding if we trust in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Got a couple of verses here on Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. So there you go. There's that compassion of the Lord, that deep care that the Lord has for his own. You know, as we don't do it, well, I suppose we do in a way. I remember whenever the sheep were lambing, Dad would always get up crack of dawn, drive around, make sure it's all hunky-dory, that no ewes are in trouble with their lambing. And if they were, he'd be quick to help. In fact, he always trained our dogs to help him out, you know, to bring him in and it always amazed me, you know, how he managed to train the dogs to pick the one that was in trouble and pull her down and then to actually help this ewe giving birth to the lamb. And then Dad would take great care to isolate them so that, because the shock, of course, to isolate the lamb and the mother so that they could form that bond that was so important for the development of the lamb. And so I suppose in the old days before they had paddocks and so forth, you had the shepherd there always. And Jesus is the shepherd there always. We've got the Spirit inside us and he cares so much for the flock. Yeah, okay, he leads us to feed us, but he gathers the lambs in his arm to ensure that the lambs grow in strength. and carries them in his bosom, so that if he has to move around, which we do, we have to move around, we have to follow him, we're in the wilderness, and so that then the lambs don't fall by the wayside because they're weak. Again, whenever we used to muster the sheep, you'd be like driving them, which was different to what what happened back then. The lambs would always be at the back. Always be at the back. You know, they're the weak ones. And then when you had to go through a gate, there's all the thousands of lambs left at the gate, you know, because they're the weak ones. And so Jesus, he cares so much for his lambs. I mean, he is the lamb, but he cares for us also, the spirit-filled, that he carries us in his bosom. He doesn't want to lose us. A great analogy also, as the nation of Israel were going through the wilderness, those that were stragglers left on the outside, I think it was the Amalekites, knocked them off. And that's a stark reminder to us to stay following the Lord, stay focused on the Lord, trusting in him, because he cares and he wants to carry us and hold us in his bosom so that he can gently lead us. Gently lead us. So there's that full of compassion. There are many characters to God, and compassion is one of them. He cares deeply for his flock. Isaiah chapter 49. Yeah, I remember just as a young bloke growing up on the farm, and whenever we had to assist the lambing process, I always saw Dad doing it, you know, and then I was old enough to give it a go, and so he thought, oh, give me a go. But of course, I didn't know what I was doing, and so I was so rough, just pulled so hard, and Dad just threw the lamb away, and Dad said, no, you've got to be gentle, you know, you can't. So but anyway, I learned, and so that's what Jesus, he's gentle, you know, you gently coax the lambs, you know, in the birthing process. It's just all gentle. Jesus is gentle to his sheep, to his flock. Isaiah 49 and verse 8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I'll preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. So just as I was saying before, but that's articulated there, they shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall he the heat or sun smite them. Won't be stranded. Says elsewhere that the righteous will not beg for bread. You know, somehow the Lord will always provide. He'll always guide us. And for he hath mercy on them and shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them, because he cares so deeply. And to inherit the desolate heritages. So we have things that are our heritage. We'll be raised up to meet the Lord in the air. We'll rule and reign. We'll inherit this great thing. And that's what God wants. He needs people to inherit these things. So he's called us and he wants us to be there. Verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. So what the Lord's saying here, it's near on impossible for a woman to forget her sucking child. But if it does happen, God will not forget us. He will not forget us. He's graven us on the palm of his hand. We're always there. Whenever he looks at his hand, spiritually speaking, we're always there. He will not forget us. Verse 23, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. So there you go, it's a great promise. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. He was talking to of Israel in the future, those that were in exile. And the Lord's still saying, okay, you're in exile, but if you wait for me, you will not be ashamed. if you stand up for what I represent amongst all the opposition, if you just be a great testimony. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. You just be a great testimony, quietly about your business, and you just wait. You just overcome. And it says here that they will not be ashamed. No matter what's going on around you, the Lord will back you up, and you will be raised to meet the Lord in the air. It's a promise. He has us graven on his hands, and so he will not forget us if we just wait and be patient. As Andrew brought out on Wednesday, he's all about the chocolatey goodness inside. Oh, you heard that, did you? Yeah, like the flesh is discarded, but it's the chocolatey goodness inside that the Lord's after. And so these things may buffet us, but it's the development of the soul, that spiritual being that the Lord's all after, because he cares for us and he wants us to be spiritually tough when we're raised up to meet the Lord in the air. We just need to wait. But there's a great promise. We will not be ashamed if we wait. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So we follow Jesus, and by the power of the blood of the Lamb, we've overcome. We've overcome that old serpent called devil and Satan. And there it says there that Satan was accusing us day and night before God. But now, by the power of the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus, he is the door, he is the shepherd, and he is the Lamb. By the power of the blood of the Lamb, we have overcome this accuser. And the scripture that's on the newsletter is in Romans, where it says he is justifying us. He justifies the righteous before God. So on the one hand, Satan was accusing us, but now he's been destroyed and overcome by the blood of the Lamb, and now Jesus sits there on the right hand of God, justifying us before him. Chapter 17, just one verse, chapter 17, and verse 14, just another aspect. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. So praise the Lord, we're with him, we're following him. We have the Spirit, and by his grace he's given us signs that follow. And we are called, we're predestined, it says elsewhere. We were called and we were chosen, and now we're faithful. We faithfully follow Jesus so this spiritual war that's going on, and we feel it, don't we? We feel it here on earth, this spiritual war between Satan and Jesus, between the flesh and the spirit, between good and bad. We see it and we feel it. We're impacted by it here on earth. But by the power of the blood of the Lamb, we overcome them. Jesus has already won the victory. So we can always look up, look above what's happening around us, and know that he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and that he's up there justifying us before our Father. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. Excuse me. So there's that patience and that waiting. To them who by patient continuance, continuing on patiently, following Jesus Christ, doing what he requires of us. Sometimes it might be things we don't want to do, but whatever God wants us to do, that's what we need to do. By patient continuance, what do we get? We get glory, we get honour, immortality and eternal life. What an amazing reward just by following him, by just being a dumb sheep, following him. You know, that flocking mentality. We come together at a meeting because we have that instinct within us that comes from God to come together as sheep want to flock, and we patiently follow him. And what a great reward we get. We get glory, honour, immortality, and eternal life. Right, last scripture, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. So John chapter 6 is an interesting chapter, very long chapter. It's where Jesus starts talking about stuff that's hard to hear. Of course, it's all truth because he is truth. He's talking to religious people. He's talking to his disciples or his followers, those that aren't religious. He's just talking to people about stuff that's hard to hear about the kingdom of heaven, about eating his bread, eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And then it gets to verse 66, John chapter 6 and verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples or his followers went back and walked no more with him. It was too hard to hear. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So what a great response there from Peter. He had that clarity. He knew that Jesus was the anointed one, the one that was chosen by God to die for the salvation of the world. Sorry, he didn't realize he had to die, but at least he knew he was there for the salvation of the world. And but a great response there. Lord, where else should we go? Where else is there that we can go? Because you have the words of eternal life. It says elsewhere in John that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We follow him because he's the way. When we follow him, we walk in the truth and we get this life, the words of eternal life. Where else should we go? Who else should we follow? Jesus is the good shepherd. In fact, if we follow someone else, they are a thief and a robber. They're only there to destroy, to break down, to take away our salvation, that thing that is so precious ahead of anything else on this world, anything else. People may have priorities of what's important to them. Number one, salvation. Number two might be family. Number three might be blah, work, whatever. But number one is salvation. That is what we're after, eternal life. And here is where we hear the words of eternal life, if we continue to follow the living Jesus Christ. Okay, thank you.